Go.
BATF IRS CIAMDF BI FDA and FCC ADL and KGB.
Welcome, Christian Israel, white nationalists, all lovers of truth and haters of lies. Welcome. This is the voice of Christian Israel on Eurofolk Radio. This is December 3rd, 2017, and we're going to be continuing our series on the 95 Theses Against the Antichrist, namely exposing the lies and the distortions and evil deeds of the Jews and how they basically violate all the laws of Moses while pretending to be God's chosen people. Over to you. Any comment before we get started, Pastor Steve?
Evil deeds.
Right. Yeah. What's that? What's that song by AC/DC?
Highway to Hell.
No, evil deeds done dirt cheap. Dirty deeds. That's it. Dirty deeds.
Dirty deeds done dirt cheap. Yeah,
right.
That's it.
Right.
I couldn't really remember. I never did like them.
They were, no, neither did I.
They were repulsive to me. But yeah. That's me.
But the guitar work, you know, was I love heavy metal guitar work, but the lyrics of the songs and the screeching just grated on me, right?
So I like a stuffed pork chop too, but that doesn't mean I'm going to eat it.
Right. Oh, speaking of, I was wondering where Michael from Sweden was going with that spreading salt on a steak parable. Good job, Michael. Yeah. Good job.
I thought it was a wonderful first show.
Yes, absolutely.
His audio was absolutely perfect. Mm-hmm. Just perfectly clear. And
you said he was quoting from the scriptures?
The same. That's my favorite version is the scriptures. That's my carry Bible. Mm-hmm. That of course, I have all the other versions of the Bible here too, plus online. But it's easy to have, and I can compare them when I read. Pardon me, having a hard copy. And my poor King James, I've got the King James by AMG Publishers with all the Strong's numbers and everything right above the word. But I have so many notes in that poor book. I've got to get a new one because it's hard to read it. It's so written in because
annotated.
They've changed the word, and I've made notes and well, I have been busy. He was talking about oatmeal. I don't buy instant oatmeal. I just bought two big things of real oatmeal that you have to cook.
Mm-hmm.
And I put sea salt in it and a little bit of agave, which is a natural
sweetener.
Sweetener, which doesn't jack your hypoglycemic index up.
Right.
It absorbs naturally into your system. And then I put some raisins in there. Mm-hmm. And I cut up a banana in it after it was cooked.
Okay.
So, boy, what a hearty breakfast. I'm just good to go. And I got everything up. And running in the old bod this morning. I'm feeling really great.
Good.
I'm glad to be back in service. And we ought to get started because we only have a little bit of time here, and I don't want to chat too much.
Right. A couple of quick announcements. I'll be heading out of town right after today's show. So today's Voice of Christian Israel will be pre-recorded and probably next Sunday's as well. So no live Voice of Christian Israel shows for the next two Sundays. And I'm starting a new newsletter. Chris Peed is helping me with it. It's going to be called Chivalry. And the first edition, it's going to be about 16 pages, more or less, every issue. And it's going to be a donation-only magazine. So those people who donate $5 a month, and people who've already been donating, they'll already receive theirs on January 1st. It's going to be published January 1st. And you can donate to Eurofolk Radio by mail. Actually, it would be to ANP, American National Publishing, or make it out to Eli James, either way. American National Publishing, ANP, or Eli James, and it's Post Office Box 41-1373, Chicago, Illinois, 60641. And we'll post this information on the front page of the website as well. And you can still make donations to us over at www.anglo-saxonisrael.com, and that's the source of our article we'll be reading from. I just posted it in the chat room, the 95 Theses Against the Antichrist. The PayPal link there still works. The Jews have not taken it down yet. They did take down our ANP PayPal link because the SPLC cited us as a quote-unquote terrorist anti-Semitic organization. Okay. So, anyway, that's good. It's good that Eurofolk Radio is agitating the Jews. I couldn't be happier. But that put a crimp in our finances, the ease with which people can donate. That's one nice thing about PayPal. However, they keep tabs on us using PayPal. I mean, it's just another way of spying on us. So, but nevertheless, the PayPal link at www.anglo-saxonisrael does work, and anybody who cares to donate can go over there. And plus, there's books there for sale: The Great Impersonation, The Christian Israel Reference Manual by Pastor Advari, and a book co-written by myself and Clay Douglas. It's the Jews and the Zionist occupation government and all of the crimes the Jews have committed against the white race in the last 100 years or so. So those three books are available and more to come. But we're going to be building a American National Publishing website separately, which will contain old-fashioned books, British Israel Christian identity books that are hard to obtain. We'll put them up internet only, as well as print publications. That's our plan. And the internet versions will probably just be free, so you can read those for yourselves, because the information is so important, like The Nameless War by Captain Ramsay, which I started doing yesterday on Restoration Hour. That is such an important book that every patriot, every white patriot needs to read that book, because he explains from the coming of Cromwell, who was financed by Jews. He names the Jewish bankers who financed Cromwell, assassinated Charles I, and then used Charles II to create the Bank of England. And great detail. There's really no other book like it in showing how the Jewish bankers have subverted white Christian governments throughout history. It's a phenomenal book. So we'll be making that available. I was talking about that yesterday. So other than that, I think we're good to go. Since you've got it up there, Pastor Steve, I'm just getting there. Was it number protocol? Not protocol. Item number 31. I should call them protocols. Thesis number 31.
All right. There's a change I'm going to make.
Okay.
Because he misquotes. Now, it says here, Jews oppress non-Jews. Thou shalt not oppress a stranger, for you know the heart of a stranger, seeing you were strangers in the land of Egypt. That's mm-hmm. Exodus 23:9. You shall not oppress a sojourner.
Sojourner, okay.
For you know the heart of a sojourner, seeing you were sojourners. Yes. In the land of Egypt. in Mitzrayim, okay? Then it goes on to say, can there be a more obvious violation of this divine command than in the Israeli state?
Yes.
Jewish perfidy against the Palestinian people is a monumental injustice that is perpetuated by Zionist imperialism. Let's break here. The Palestinian people, they were indigenous people. They were there before these modern Jews, quote unquote, came in the land. So the Jews are the usurpers. True Israel has been shipped out of that area, and we are scattered all over the planet. So they are catfighting among themselves. Now, they are oppressing those Palestinian people, but it's not their land either.
Yeah, to be right.
The Jews have no claim to the Holy Land.
No.
They are not children of Israel. They are Edomites, and they are the Hittites that went up and eventually became the Khazars. They were Hittite people. They're coming back. They need to be in the land of the Hittites, not the Israel land. And they have no right to have a wall or oppress those people.
Mm-hmm.
Now, continuing on in this article, just ask the Palestinian people who never did anything to harm a single Jew before the Zionists attacked their land.
Now, it's interesting.
Well, they're engaged in home defense is what they're doing.
Sure. Right. Fighting against an oppressor.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. That's all there is to it.
Is there any other moral or biblical justification for the unwarranted Jewish invasion of Palestine for supposed crimes committed by the Nazis?
Okay, see, the Nazis drove us over here, so therefore we get to kill you.
Oh, man.
That's Jewish logic, folks. That's Jewish logic.
The whole thing that the National Socialists in Germany had a repatriation program. They were going to send all those Jews back over to Palestine.
Oh, the first
Jews didn't want to do it. They were dug in like a tick on a hound.
Right.
So they stayed, and they locked a lot of them up. Oh, the Holocaust!
They actually put some of them to work.
Those were work camps.
Mm-hmm.
What insufferable intransigence to do evil and call it good. Well, that's in the last days.
That's right.
Since when does God allow one group of people to be punished for the supposed crime of an entirely different group?
Yeah.
Where are the Jewish
ethicists?
Right. Self-proclaimed arbiters of human morality.
Human. Well, they speak morality. For all of us. They speak for everybody.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so human is proper. Okay.
To point out the contradictions and duplicity of such tactics. Where does the Bible say that an innocent population can be occupied and oppressed for merely standing in the way of Jewish claims to territory? With the kind of money the international Jew possesses, the Zionists could have easily bought all of their homes and orchards instead of murdering, displacing the people who owned them. But it wouldn't have been as much fun.
Right.
For the Jew.
Yes, right.
Christian Zionists who support this travesty are due for a rude awakening on Judgment Day when Yahweh God will ask them why they supported the Antichrist instead of Christ.
Yes.
Ooh, that's going to be very unpleasant.
There shall be a wailing and a gnashing of teeth. By the way, the show that the three of us did Friday, Yahweh's Covenant People, covered this, how we are going to be standing before the throne and being judged for better or for worse. And it's clearly, it verifies Revelation 12:17 and other verses in the New Testament where some will be resurrected for eternal damnation and others will be resurrected for eternal glory. You know, that's we're going to be resurrected just to stand before the judgment throne.
That second death looms large, Eli.
Oh, man. Yeah, it sure does. It sure does. And it occurred to me.
Very scary.
Yeah. It occurred to me when reading this a couple of weeks ago that, the Jews have so much money. They could easily pay every single Palestinian family, let's say $2 million or more, because we give them that much. We give them, several billion dollars a year. They could easily just pay every Palestinian family to get up and clear out. But they won't do it. Why?
Well, you said... They love their money.
Yeah, well, that too. But they need a pretext. They need a bimbo boogeyman. A tiny boogeyman to blame all of their problems on, that they're trying to take this territory away from these defenseless people and always accusing them of attacking Jews. So they need to have a pretext. That's why they keep them there. That's their
Nazis. They're Nazis.
Palinazis. Palinazis. All right.
Palinazis.
All right. There you go. Ashkenazis.
Is that like paparazzi?
Yeah, there you go.
Palinazi?
Yeah, right.
Yeah, there you go.
Palinazis and Ashkenazis. They're getting along.
Yeah.
All right.
How do you get the answer to the question? Well, you Ashkenazi.
Oh, man. That's.
One demerit.
Yeah. Well, you get two demerits, too, because actually it was
that,
funny.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. Number 32, the Balfour Declaration. As further proof, this is a biggie. As further proof of Jewish deceit, it must be understood that Zionism, which is a product of the Talmudic mind, seized the nation of Palestine by making a blatantly false promise. Well, you mean the Jews would make a false promise? Really?
Boy, you can't say it ain't so.
Right? Yeah. The Zionists promised the British government that once the Jewish people occupied Palestine, the Palestinian people would not be injured or harmed in any way.
No, they're just going to kill them. They didn't hurt them.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I guess they don't feel pain. Here is the exact text of the Balfour Declaration, which was accepted by the British government as a guarantee of Jewish good intentions. That needs quotations around it. Jewish good intentions. There's no such thing. Never was. Never will be. Foreign Office, November 2nd, 1917. Dear Lord Rothschild. Now, this is addressed by the Zionist Committee, and the same people who composed the Protocols of the Elders of Zion. Now, who's it addressed to? Is it addressed to the British government? It's addressed to Lord Rothschild.
Yeah. Is this the same one that just crashed and burned over there, supposedly?
No, this is granddaddy.
Oh, okay.
He's a granddaddy. So, but nevertheless, this shows how powerful. I mean, the Jews are always complaining that we don't have any influence. We're so persecuted. All right, so why is this addressed to Lord Rothschild? What does banking have to do with Palestine?
Everything,
okay. I have much pleasure in conveying to you on behalf of His Majesty's government the following declaration of sympathy with Jewish Zionist aspirations, which has been submitted to and approved by the Cabinet. His Majesty's government view with favor the establishment in Palestine of a national home for the Jewish people. By the way, this proves that the Jews have been wanderers and vagabonds for the last 6,000 years. and will use there because the Israelites were promised to have many nations and companies of nations. So here, right here, is just further proof that the Jews aren't Israelites, because the Bible says the Israelites would have plenty of nations and will use their best endeavors to facilitate the achievement of this object, it being clearly understood that nothing shall be done which may prejudice the civil and religious rights of the existing non-Jewish communities in Palestine. Have the Jews kept this promise, Pastor Steve? Hello? You there?
No, I bumped my button. I'm sorry. No, they lie.
They lie.
As usual, that's their nature. Their father is the father of lies, right. And they do their father's work.
Yeah. So here's the exact terms of the agreement. Can't call it a treaty because this was never made public until after the Weimar Republic was established by the Jews to oppress the German people. Okay. And so it was only after the Treaty of Versailles that the German people found out about this secret agreement and understood. That's why they call this the stab in the back, because it was this agreement that brought the American troops under Woodrow Wilson in on the side of the British against the Germans. It was this agreement, okay? So this was a secret agreement between the British and the Jews to take Palestine away from the Palestinian people, and also to make war against Germany, promising, the Jews having promised American troops to come in once this agreement was signed.
Well, here's this last paragraph, or the rights and political status enjoyed by Jews in any other country. They didn't want all of them moving over there.
Right.
Because they had to leave all these others in the other countries to fund it.
Exactly.
So they could continue to rip us off.
Right. With their banking operations.
And fund their little Jewish state, right, which they've never secured. The people are still fighting them tooth and nail.
That's right.
They don't know when a Katyusha rocket's going to come in, or some sniper is going to let loose with an AK or SKS or whatever and shoot a couple of them.
Mm-hmm.
They're not secure. They walk around, a lot of them are walking down, going to the market, carrying a Jewish-made AR. I think it's what do they call a Kalil or something? Their brand of an AR-15.
Oh, I don't know. Yeah.
But whatever it is, they're all walking around carrying guns.
Right.
Now, is that a secure country? No.
That's right.
Come on.
Yes. Yeah. And so the final sentence here, I should be grateful if you would bring this declaration to the knowledge of the Zionist Federation. Yours, Arthur James Balfour.
Okay, all right, so Nimble Horse puts Uzi in the chat room. No, that's 9mm. I'm talking about their, it's a copy of an AR-15. It shoots a .223 cartridge.
Yes, yes.
So I can't remember the name of it, a Kalil or something. I don't know. Some name.
Right, right.
But they're all walking around carrying those. Now, Uzi is a submachine gun that shoots nines.
Yeah, well, they need a weapon that's small so their nose doesn't get in the way. Nimble Horse says, Rat Shield and Rat Face Fella. Yeah, of course, Rothschild and Rockefeller. That reminds me, I think I forgot to announce the first article in Chivalry Magazine is going to be about the Jews, about how the Jews are, in fact, parasites on two legs. And it's called The Parasite's Dilemma, showing how the Jews mimic, as bipeds, various different parasitic entities in the insect world, in the animal world, birds, etc., etc. They're showing how the Jews are, in fact, a parasitic people. So I think you'll find that article very, very interesting. Okay, Parasite's Dilemma. But I'll make more announcements about that up until January 1st. Okay, so, yeah, the rat-faced Jews, and rat-faced Rothschilds, and rat-faced Rockefellers. Yeah, that's what we're dealing with, folks. These are evil, evil people.
Well, that's why they race mix to hide themselves, so they look like the indigenous population.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Oh, by the way, back to number 31, because it's important to discuss the stranger. And
yeah, the sojourner. Yes.
Yeah, because the word, the King James Version is sloppy in its translation of various Hebrew words. And it uses the word stranger to translate, it must be 8, 9, or 10 Hebrew words that have
very... Well, it can mean sojourner, it can mean racial alien. Mm-hmm.
Nokri?
It can mean...
That's Nokri, which you could see the...
That's racial alien. Yeah,
that's a racial alien, right? There's at least 7 or 8 words that in the Hebrew that have very different meanings, very precise meanings, that are all translated as stranger. You know,
They're muddying the waters. That was the purpose of that, because they had Jewish translators. He hired Jews to do the translation.
Yeah.
And now, that's why I dislike the King James.
Yeah, right. It's just, it's too vague.
I mean, I'll use it, but I have noted all the errors, and this Bible is just replete with all my emendations to the text, which I have put in my version.
Right. And by the way,
I put the Hebrew on the opposite page. There's no, I'm not fudging.
Right. No, of course not.
That's what it says in the Hebrew.
Right.
And the amazing thing is, out of the JPS Tanakh, the Hebrew, and the other Hebrew text I read, are amazingly accurate, but their English translations are an absolute abomination.
Right?
Because even most of the Jews...
Right.
Are ignorant of the Hebrew. They listen to what the rabbi says, the same way the Judeo-Christian listens to what the preacher says from the pulpit.
Pastor Rabbi.
Pastor Leibowitz is a hypocrite. Old Carl Klang.
Right.
But they just believe whatever they're told.
That's right.
They don't read. They don't study themselves. They have their little Bible study classes, but they are following the doctrinal little guidelines of their particular denomination. Mm-hmm. They don't get into it like we get into it.
Right.
And just rip it apart and examine every word and just all the different shows on EFR with the word studies. Dan, David James, all of us.
Comparay Swift, word studies.
And it means study, which means work.
Yes.
And they're too lazy to do the work. They just want to dress up and go one day a week and then blithely go about their lives with no changes.
Well,
They don't learn anything. Just sort of rest on the laurels of whoever there's teaching them.
Yeah, yeah, and those laurels.
They're so ignorant, most of them, the teachers, they don't know anything either.
Yeah, and you can't even buy a cup of coffee with those laurels. Right? Oh, they're stale, really stale. But one example here is ger, the Hebrew word ger, G-E-R, which means a racial kinsman. Okay? Now, you compare that with Nokri, which means, and Nokri, and there's 2 or 3 words in the Hebrew for a stranger, which are forbidden to take part in Israelite rituals.
That's correct.
Okay? And so, in fact, it says they should be put to death if they even try.
Absolutely.
Okay? So how can you translate the word for Nokri? I'm trying to think of the other word for a racial alien. There's at least 3. all translated as stranger when, you know, one type of stranger can be put to death, but the other type of stranger is welcomed to participate with the Israelites.
Yeah,
so there's a huge difference.
That's an Israelite from another land sojourning.
Right.
In that land. So, mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Hey, look, I'm an American sojourning on the continent of America. My home is the New Jerusalem, not the old Jerusalem.
Right.
I will be going to the new Jerusalem that will come down from heaven when my master and my redeemer, I don't say savior, I say redeemer, Yahshua, comes.
Yes. Yes. Okay, getting back to number 32, I'll just read the last couple of paragraphs here. It is a commonly understood fact of history that Jews cannot be trusted. Don't Jew me! It is simply not part of the Jewish culture that a man's word is his bond.
That's Anglo-Saxon culture.
That's right. Jewish culture, according to Samuel Roth, a remonstrant Jew, an author of The Jews Must Live, is based on the principle of always take advantage of the goyim. Their Talmud says they own our stuff. And they can take it from us if they can get away with stealing it from us. The reality is that the Jews have always used money as a means of controlling their host populations. Thus, the rabbis have encouraged the Jewish people to worship money and power and control as both a means and an end, so that the rabbinate can perfect their satanic dictatorship through their brainwashed and highly skilled operatives, who they call the Lesser Brethren. Okay.
Yep. They throw them under the bus.
Whatever they've done with them. Exactly. All right. Matthew 23:17. Ye fools and blind, for whether is greater, the gold or the temple that sanctifieth the gold? Okay. So the Jews pervert everything. Take number 33, please. Thesis number 33.
All right, the goyim are less than human. Oi, 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 Sanhedrin 74b. The sexual intercourse of a goy is like to that of a beast.
Oh. So any of you Israelites out there who marry a Jew creature, that's what they think of you. You're a beast.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's precisely what they think of you.
Mm-hmm.
The Talmud just oozes
with
kind words of brotherhood for the goyim. That means, if you actually know what goyim are, that means nations.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't mean non-Jew.
Yeah,
but it means that to them.
That's right.
Because they pervert words. Jewish apologists would have us believe that anti-Semitism, well, they're not Shemitic people.
That's
and it's
right.
not Semitism, it's Shemitism.
Right.
Is an irrational or an irrational phenomenon which has no logical explanation, religious basis, or sociological cause. If you believe that explanation, quote unquote, my gullible friend, are a fool. The Jews would have us believe that nation after nation expelled the Jews because there is some mysterious, unfathomable hate, quote unquote, that non-Jews have for Jews, only after they know them.
Yeah, that's right.
It just exists. There's no rational basis for it. In reality, Judaism has no basis in Scripture, and anti-Semitism, quote unquote, is a contrivance invented by Jews to browbeat and drown out their critics who dare to expose Jewish treachery and deceit. Given the Talmudic attitude of Jews toward the goyim, the mystery is solved, and you won't need to hire Sherlock Holmes to do your analytical thank you.
Rabbi Holmstein.
Rabbi
Shylock Holmstein. There you
go. According to the rabbis, if you are not Jewish, you are not human. You are therefore expendable. Well, I am not human. I am Adamic man.
I am Adam kind. Thank you very much.
That's right.
All right. Thesis number 34. Again, this whole document is designed to expose how the Jews violate every single commandment of Yahweh.
Well, now, Eli, if you read this passage, be gentle, please.
Yes, right.
Okay. Please, pretty please.
Yes. thesis / protocol number 34, homosexuality is acceptable for Jews. It is. Leviticus 18:22, you shall not lie with mankind as with womankind. It is an abomination.
And the penalty is death.
That's right. Even in the New Testament, the penalty is death.
That's right.
Paul says in Romans 1 and 2 that people who engage in this stuff are worthy of death.
That's right.
It's not a forgivable sin. You better change your ways if you're engaging in this activity, folks.
That's why God invented AIDS, because they're worthy of death.
That's right.
Here's a present for you, schmuck.
Yeah, right. Okay, for those so-called New Testament Christians, quote-unquote, who believe that the law has been abolished, here is what Paul has to say about these reprobates. Quote, for this cause God gave them up to vile affections, you just named it, AIDS, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature, and likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust toward one another, men with men working that which is unseemly. Oh, Paul just says, oh, that's okay. Homosexuality is fine. And receiving in themselves that recompense, namely AIDS, of their error, which was meet or deserving. Romans 1:26-27.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Now, here's what the Talmud says. Quote, unnatural connection is permitted to a Jew, unquote. Sanhedrin 55 B. Okay, I would think that this is a reference to anal intercourse.
Yes, I would. Mm-hmm. I would think so.
Unnatural connection. They say they use the word unnatural, right? So that's their word, not ours. Okay. Mm. So, ever wonder why there are so many Jewish homosexuals and perverts? Now you know why. It's permitted by their Talmud. Okay, please take number 35.
I got to scroll up here and hit my magnifier again. This print, this is a really detailed article. The print has to be so small to get it all in. It just goes on and on and on and on. Thesis number 35, all Jews, religious and secular, hate Jesus Christ. Well, Yeshua Messiah.
Yes.
In chapter 10 of the English translation of Mishnah Torah, Maimonides curses Jesus Christ. It is a mitzvah, that's a religious duty, however, to eradicate Jewish traitors and to cause them to descend into the pit of destruction, since they cause difficulty to the Jews and sway the people away from God, and did Jesus of Nazareth and his students, and Zadok, Bithoth, and their students. May the name of the wicked rot.
Such nice people, these Jews.
Yeah, well.
Yeah.
You want me to read the article by Ted Pike?
Yeah.
Okay. Christians in Israel, an endangered species, by Reverend Ted Pike, 7 September 06. I guess this is...
Yeah. Now, Ted Pike is one of those evangelists who does expose Jewish criminality, especially Zionist criminality, but he also believes that the Jews are salvageable. Okay. So he hasn't read his scriptures thoroughly enough to understand that the tares will be burnt, not saved. Okay, but please continue.
The New Testament history of the Jewish nation after Jesus' crucifixion. I'm going to use what he says here.
Yes, yeah. That's his
word. It's Yeshua Messiah, but he says Jesus, okay? Right. Was one of relentless attack on the fledgling church.
That's true.
In the century following, the Talmud, codified by the Pharisees, encouraged Jews to hate and oppose Christians by any means possible. Now, this is in bold print. There were three great enemies of Judaism, the Talmud says. Balaam, who led Israel into apostasy. Titus, who destroyed Jerusalem. And Jesus, like Balaam, who seduced and deceived the people. According to the New Testament, the Pharisees of Jesus' day considered him to be possessed with a devil, John 8:48, a charlatan doing great works by the prince of the devils, Beelzebub, Matthew 12:24, a deceiver of the people, Matthew 27:3, a blasphemer, John 10:36, and having an unclean spirit, Mark 3:30. Since the Talmud and Kabbalah were written by the Pharisees and their descendants, it's natural that the opposition found in the New Testament should intensify in rabbinic literature.
Yeah, well said, yeah.
The Jewish Encyclopedia tells us he was a bastard. For polemical purposes, it was necessary for the Jews to insist on the illegitimacy of Jesus as against the Davidic descent claimed by the Christian church. His mother, Mary, was known to be an adulteress. Two, concerning Miriam or Mary, the Talmud in Sanhedrin 106b says, she who was the descendant of princes and governors played the harlot with carpenters. The Jewish Encyclopedia's article on Jesus, page 170, includes such Jewish literature as the Talmud and the Toldoth Jesu. That's a blasphemous medieval rabbinic tale,
right,
mocking Jesus as sources for the Jewish legends and beliefs about Christ. It is the tendency of all these sources to belittle the person of Jesus by ascribing to him illegitimate birth, magic, and a shameful death. Christians should know about the real attitude that the Jews have for Jesus. At worst, it is one of pure hatred. At best, it is one of self-righteous patronization. Would someone please send these 95 theses to those brainwashed Christian Zionists who are working for the Antichrist while believing they are working for God?
Right. Yeah. And unfortunately, Ted Pike is one of them. For all that he knows about the Talmud and the Talmud's teachings against our Messiah and our religion and our people, he does not challenge them. He still thinks they can be saved, converted. In your experience, have you ever encountered a Jew who has sincerely, you know, where there's all kinds of Moranos? I mean, the history of the Moranos, that is the crypto-Jews, the literature is enormous. I'm not aware of any Jew that has sincerely converted to Christianity.
Well, they'll say they have. Mm-hmm. They say they have, but then their actions belie them. They lay in wait like a spy that would infiltrate our military. And they lay in wait masquerading as one of ours, and then when they get a chance to bite at the heel, which the scripture says,
yes,
they will bite that heel.
Amen. Amen. Okay, thesis number 36. The Jews did not write the Torah, nor is it about them.
Okay. Oh, they certainly did. Yeah. Did not.
Yep. You can search the Pentateuch, first five books of Moses, also known as the Torah, and you will not find the word Jew in any of those books. Really?
Correct.
Yeah, right. The first instance of the word Jew is not found until what? 2 Kings? I forget. 1 Kings 16:6, I think it is.
Yeah.
1 Kings 16:6. And there, it is a reference exclusively to the two-tribed house of Judah, and it's used to distinguish the two-tribed house of Judah from the ten-tribed house of Israel. So,
and the actual word in the scripture is Yahudim.
Right, and it's not Jew.
And Yahudim means those who praise Yah.
Amen. So it should not have been. So anybody who thinks that the Bible identifies Jews with all 12 tribes is mistaken, because it's not.
Well, they've changed the word Yahudim to Yehudim.
Mm-hmm.
And a Yehudi is a Jew.
Okay.
But a Yahudi is a Judahite.
Right.
See, they try to mimic the words.
They get
close.
It's
so there's confusion. So there's confusion. And their father is the author of confusion and lies.
Yes. Right.
So that's how they do it. And then they own all the publishing houses, and then they just print whatever the hell they want.
Right. So you will not find the word Jew even in the Torah, even in the English translations of the Torah. You won't find the word Jew anywhere in there. So you can't say that Abraham was a Jew, or Judah was a Jew, or Israel was a Jew. You can't say that about any of those people because it's not there.
That's correct.
It's a later interpretation. Okay. Judah was Judah. He wasn't a Jew. Right? Abraham was not a Jew. Moses was not a Jew. None of these people were Jews.
Aharon was not a Jew.
That's right. None of them were Jews.
None of the patriarchs were Jews.
Yeah. They weren't even Judahites. The only Judahite in there was Judah. He's the only Judahite in there. Right? And he was not a Jew either. Okay?
No.
The word Jew is a confused term deliberately concocted by the Jews to confuse the hell out of us.
Well, the word Judah is a deliberate mistranslation to confuse. It's Yahuda.
Mm-hmm.
And if you get the real meaning, Yahuda.
Right. Praise Yahweh.
He who praises Yah.
Amen.
And Yahudim, those who praise Yah in the plural, you don't get Jew. It's Yahuda.
Mm-hmm.
Praisers of Yah.
Mm-hmm.
Yahweh.
Yeah, right.
The Jews don't use Yahweh.
Exactly.
They forbid it. So get it straight, Israelites.
Yes.
It's not Judahites. It's Yahudim, those who praise Yah.
Right.
Get the words right.
Amen. Amen. Well, this is a much, it's a longer thesis here. I'll just jump.
Gentard. Nibble. They think they're Gentile swamp bucks.
You're a Gentard.
Nibble horse responded, Gentards.
That's a good one. I like it.
I love it. Yeah, you get a gold star for that nimble horse. That
right.
Was good.
Yeah. 10 merits and a gold star.
Yeah.
Yes.
You get a matzo ball.
Matzo ball. A bowl of matzo ball soup. All right.
Matzo ball.
Right.
Oh,
okay. So the fact is, the Jewish people have never practiced the laws of Moses. Never. They have always pretended to follow them, but they, in fact, have never practiced them. As Jesus himself told us, and as history has demonstrated, the Jews have always practiced their own traditions, which never were the same as the Mosaic tradition. Rabbinical claims to authorship of the Old Testament are deceptive. The word Jew properly derives from the word Judeos, the Greek version of Judean, not Yehuda or Yahud. Yahud. The Jewish people descend from Idumea, an Edomite nation that was incorporated into Judea starting around 150 BC under King John Hyrcanus. This amalgamation of two separate and distinct peoples was continued under Herod, who was a non-Israelite Edomite of Idumea. From such simple, indisputable ethnic facts, it is clear that the Pharisees and their people were outsiders, not even sojourners, but racial aliens.
Correct.
Racial aliens, interlopers who brought their Babylonian traditions with them from Idumea, gradually altering the Mosaic law and converting it into Judaism. Under Herod's authority, weaseled their way into the priesthood and began inserting their traditions into the Mosaic law. Thus, Judaism was grafted onto and into the law of Moses in order to displace it.
That's correct.
Okay. All right. Very good. The Jewish people are not Judah. I'm just going to jump down here. Actually, in cap letters here, Judaism itself is the most gigantic hoax of all time. It is the, what do they call Christianity? Replacement theology. Yeah, the Jews say Christianity is, Judaism is replacement theology, folks. Because it replaces...
Judeo-Christianity is a replacement theology.
Yes, very good. The Jewish people are not of Judah. In all instances of the occurrence of the word Jew in the Old Testament, the Hebrew source word is Judah, not Jew. There is no justification for translating the Hebrew word Judah for the modern word Jew. The modern word Jew never did, nor does it today, designate the same ethnicity that the Old Testament word Judah does. The word Judah signifies the tribe of Judah exclusively, along with their descendants. The only way you can be a Judahite is to be a purebred descendant of the tribe of Judah.
That's correct.
Deuteronomy 23:2 clearly says that no mongrels will be accepted in the congregation of Yahweh. Thus, Jews are automatically excluded.
Shall not come a Mamzer into the congregation of Yahweh, even unto the generation of the tenth,
yes.
Shall not come into the congregation of Yahweh. That's Deuteronomy 23:2.
Yes.
A Mamzer is a mixed breed or a mongrel.
That's right. Yeah, okay. No other race, or translated there, bastard, it's Mamzer, no other race or ethnicity can become Judahites. Thus, we have a non-Judahite people impersonating and claiming the authority inheritance of Judah.
What was that book by that guy, Eli something or other?
Yeah, Eli James. The great impersonation. Right.
Mm.
Yes. How the Antichrist has deceived the whole world, right? And you can get it at www.anglosaxonisrael.com, anglo-saxon, for $37 postpaid, and additional postage applies to Canada and overseas, all right? So just go to the store section at www.anglo-saxonisrael.com. All right? So there's so much more to be said about this, but let's move on. Let's go to thesis number 37. The Jews are not Shemites either. Mm-hmm. Why don't you take this one?
All right.
Number 37.
Throughout the history of the ancient Israelites, they were constantly at war with the local Canaanites. These Canaanites were later called Edomites. Well, some of them were, because they all interbred at one time, and they melded all the Canaanites together.
Yes.
After Esau, Edom married into their tribe. That's the Hittite tribe.
Yes.
Well, they all interbred too. So there's one great big racial soup over there.
That's right.
Against the wishes of his parents, Isaac and Rebekah, since all Jews have Edomite blood in them, they're actually Canaanites, not Israelites. That's correct. Incidentally, the word Canaanite has a root meaning of merchant trafficker. It's Kanani. Mm-hmm. Okay, those are the merchants. Which ethnic group does this definition fit best in your mind and its history? Who are the people best known for their merchandising and trafficking today, like child trafficking
right.
And just all
sex trafficking?
Could
human
it be
trafficking?
That the leopard has usurped the name of Israel and has not changed its spots?
Right. That's what it was.
Surely not.
That's why they wear those rabbinical robes, to hide their spots, right?
Yes. Absolutely. It's amazing how they have duped.
Yes, absolutely
our
duped. Yeah.
So,
yes.
Just... it's an ongoing tragedy.
Yes.
Since the Jews originated in the nation of Idumea, that's Edom,
mm-hmm.
Mount Seir.
Right.
Their claim to being the Judahites and Israelites of the Old Testament is absolute nonsense. And the fact that the rabbis know the consequences of this bit of nonsense better than anybody else. Well, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated.
Mm-hmm.
How much plainer can you get than that? Read the book of Obadiah,
right.
Okay? Obadiah. Yeah. But since their claim to being Semites, that would be Shemites from Shem, it is a fundamental doctrine of Judaism. They cannot be factual about their origins. Of course not. Otherwise, their empire of deceit would collapse. Recent DNA studies have proven conclusively that the Jewish genetic profile hardly differs from that of the Palestinians or neighboring Arabs, who are of partially Shemitic descent, just as the Sephardic Jews who originated in ancient Canaan are also of partially Shemitic descent.
Yeah, they at least have the blood of Esau.
Yeah, the only full-blooded Shemites in the world today are the Anglo-Saxon Caucasian people, otherwise known as the Lost Tribes of the House of Israel. That be us, bros and sisters.
That's right.
We have rediscovered our identity. Just as the Bible predicted we would. That's Ezekiel 39:7-22-29, and Hosea 3:5, Romans 11:25.
That's the blinded. We are blinded in part verse in Romans.
Correct.
Yes. Okay.
These prophecies cannot possibly apply to the Jews, who neither accept the name of Yahweh, nor have the rabbis ever forgotten their own identity as impersonators of true Israel. The big lie of Judaism must be maintained at all costs.
Yes. David James says Palestinians have the blood of Ishmael. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. But okay. It's been so mixed, it's just as thoroughly mixed, mamzerized as Jewish blood. No doubt about that.
Well, just a little bit of cyanide will kill you.
Right. Okay. Yeah.
The Jewish Encyclopedia admits that Jews have Edomite blood in them. Edom is modern Jewry. 1925 edition, volume 5, page 41.
Yes.
In addition, the European branch of Jewry, known as the Ashkenazis
yes.
have no Shemitic blood in them whatsoever. These Ashkenazim make up no less than 90% of modern Jewry, and probably more like 95%. Their ethnic origin is threefold: Mongol, Japhethite, and Edomite. Japheth was Shem's brother. After the flood, Japheth and his family moved north into what is today called Afghanistan, Azerbaijan, and southern Russia. Most of these Japhethites are known today as the Slavic people, but the Japhethites, who mixed with the Mongols and the Edomites, also with the Hittites, well, Edomites are Hittites,
right,
became known as the Khazars. Now, let's stop right here.
Okay.
Those are the ones who were throwing the children into the wolf pits, and the Tsar said, you convert to something, or we're going to bring the Cossacks in and kill
you. Stop your Baal worship, yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's right. In the year 740 AD, the generally accepted date, these Khazars all converted to Judaism. None of these people were Jews until this forced conversion took place. Nor were they Adamites, Shemites, Hebrews, Israelites, or Judahites. The vast bulk of today's Jews descend from this non-Shemitic people from Khazaria. The Ashkenazi Jews themselves know this, but the pretense of their Semitism, quote-unquote, must be maintained, or their Zionist charade of being God's chosen people will completely evaporate. This historical reality must be hushed up, or their propaganda gambit of accusing non-Jews of anti-Semitism will also be exposed as a fraud. These are word games that the rabbis just love to use in order to fool the stupid goyim.
And that's what they call us, the stupid goyim. Okay.
Question for the attentive reader. Why has the history of the Khazar people been deleted from the academic textbooks? Could it be that this information might damage Jewish claims to Palestine?
Right.
Why do older versions of encyclopedias contain volumes of information about the Khazars while the newer editions contain virtually nothing about them?
Okay.
What is there to hide?
What is there to hide? All right.
Okay, Did I hear somebody say, I never heard of the Khazars?
Right. Well, thanks to Christian identity scholarship, and this goes on about the Khazars, there's greater detail here in the document. Again, you can find this document over at www.anglo-saxonisrael.com, and it's called the 95 Theses, okay, against the Antichrist. And there's much more information about the Mongols and the Khazars and the Mongol Hittite origin of the Ashkenazi, right?
Yep.
Who falsely claimed.
And they were vicious. Vicious then, and they're still vicious today.
Well, actually, troll, you'll probably see the drawings of the trolls, a big hairy creature with a big nose. That symbolism originated with the Khazars because they had they charged people to cross bridges because they were in the middle of the Silk Road. So when the caravans went from Europe to Asia and back, they had to pay these Khazars money to cross their bridges, otherwise they'd be killed. So that troll symbolism began with the Khazars. With these Ashkenazi Jews, you know, that's how far back it goes.
Khazar bridges falling down, falling down. Never mind.
I'll take number 38. Communism is a product of the Jewish mind. It was Rabbi Moses Hess who first enunciated the principles of both communism and Zionism. This is from the Encyclopedia of Philosophy, Paul Edwards, chief editor, Macmillan Publishing Company. We are not making this stuff up, folks. We're quoting sources, all right? Hess, Moses, 1812 to 1877. Socialist journalist and organizer, intellectual precursor of Zionism, and often called the father of German socialism. No. Not German socialism, Jewish socialism. Hess was born in Bonn of Jewish parents, a left Hegelian. He was a mentor and co-worker of Engels, Marx, and Ferdinand LaSalle. All right, this is This is the encyclopedia, folks. He led radical workers' groups in Paris and Belgium, edited the famous Rheinische Zeitung, which is the newspaper of the Rhine, and he was the leader of the true or philosophical German socialists, that is, Jewish socialists, of the 1840s, who staged communist revolutions in every city of Europe except London, because the Jews had already taken over London and England. Later, he became LaSalle's chief organizer in the Rhineland and a foreign correspondent for European and American newspapers, most of those owned by Jews as well. His published books and countless essays include works on the philosophy of history and on socialism, a famous call for a Jewish state, and a comprehensive theory of the laws of science, society, and, in other words, Jewish BS. Okay? And he has used the principles of Spinoza, Hegel, and Fichte to demonstrate the inevitability and justice of a society lacking distinctions of class and wealth without quote-unquote contradictions. Oh, but there's all kinds of Jewish contradictions in there, folks. Between private passion and public law and without external compulsion. In other words, Jewish BS. Hess took this to be both the social expression of pantheism, otherwise from Jewish mysticism, and the inevitable result of the dialectical development of the self-realization of the absolute spirit in history. Now we know where the dialectical method comes from and how the Jews have employed it to create divisions among our people and any other people, using any pretext they possibly can to create division in our nations and destroy us. Okay? So it's right here in this encyclopedic article, folks. The Encyclopedia of Philosophy, Paul Edwards, Editor-in-Chief. So anyone who doesn't know that the Jews created communism here, now I'm going to quote, a program for the Jews and humanity, Harry Watten or Watten, W-A-T-N, don't know how it's pronounced, pages 143 to 144. Quote, but the communist soul is the soul of Judaism. Hence, it follows that just as in the Russian Revolution, the triumph of communism was the triumph of Judaism, so also is the triumph of fascism will, oh, so also in the triumph of fascism will triumph Judaism. Okay, it's because it's part of the dialectical process. Okay, so Hess began as a quote-unquote noble Jew and ended up as an economic determinist, just like Marx and Engels. And just to prove that Lenin was a Jew, Lenin was born on April 10, 1870 in the vicinity of Odessa, south of Russia, as a son of Ilko Shrul Goldman.
Goldman!
A German Jew, and Sophie Goldman, a German Jewess. Lenin was circumcised as Chaim Goldman, from Common Sense magazine, April 1st, 1963.
Goldman.
There you go. Gold. Gold finger.
Oh, yeah. That's it.
There you go. All right. The relationship between Jewish communist internationalists and Jewish capitalist internationalists was summarized very well by Theodor Herzl, the founder of Zionism, and the beneficiary of Rothschild money, in which...
Oh, the Rothschilds again.
Yeah, there we go. When we sink, we become a revolutionary proletariat, the subordinate officers of all revolutionary parties. At the same time, when we rise, there rises also our terrible power of the purse. Unquote. Theodor Herzl, from his book, The Jewish State.
The power of the purse. Look at America today.
That's
look
right.
At England today.
Yes.
Look at Europe in general today.
Right.
The power of their purse, and that's the only power they have, folks. You yes. take that away from them, they collapse like a house of cards.
Amen. Amen. This thesis goes on for quite some time. Let me just quote Congressman Louis T. McFadden, what he had to say about this subject. It would be a monstrous mistake for any intelligent citizen of whatever nation to close his eyes to the evident fact that for nigh 60 years, the Jews have surely and rapidly, though most almost invisibly, climbed to the heights of government wherefrom the masses are ruled. Politically, financially, and economically, they have seized the reins of governments of all nations, and their invasion in the realms of social, educational, and religious fields, not less important, unquote. Representative Louis T. McFadden, who was the head of the Congressional Banking Committee in America.
1934, he wrote that.
Yeah, radio address. So people were a lot more Jew savvy in those days. It's because this is why the Jews have had to take control of all media, Hollywood.
Well, years ago, my parents belonged to a country club that played golf.
Mm-hmm.
And Jews were not allowed.
Right. Yes.
They were not allowed.
Yeah. But the Jews eventually bought that country club. Right. Okay. That's how they operate, folks.
And build a housing project.
Yes, right. And integrate it. Right. Yeah.
It's now the hood.
Yeah, it's now the hood. Right. The hood golf club. All right. There's so much more here, but let's move on. Thesis number 39, if you please, Pastor Steve.
Where are we here? I gotta find
it's,
it.
It's way down. It's 38 is a long one.
Number there. Yeah, there we go. Now let me hit my magnifying glass again. And
this is a short one.
Unbeknownst to Christians, the Talmud considers all Christians to be idol worshipers. Perush 78C, and be it known that Christian people who follow Jesus, although their teachings vary, are all worshipers of idols.
Really? Well, now maybe Catholics are, because they have their statues and their idols and all that. And certainly it would apply to the Orthodox churches. I mean, they take idolatry to a...
They're almost clones of the Catholic Church.
Yeah, right.
Really.
Almost clones, right. But the Protestant denominations, I mean, at most they have crosses. You know, they don't dress in flowing robes like the Orthodox and the Catholic priesthood do.
Well,
they wear suits and ties.
I will tell you something.
Okay.
Here in Kentucky, the churches cut their sermons short and dismiss their congregations if there's a University of Kentucky basketball game on. I'm dead serious. That's not a joke. They will cut church service short so people can go home and watch UK basketball.
Wow.
That's how bad it is here.
Well,
and
I guess the
really,
Jews are right.
They think I have two heads. Mm. Yeah, you got to watch UK. Absolutely not.
Yeah.
What? I said, I don't care.
Well, Pastor Steve, maybe this thesis number 39 is true. The Judeo-Christians are idol worshipers.
They sure worship something. Yeah, I don't know what they worship. That's...
So much for the Sabbath.
Yeah.
Right.
Well,
right.
they don't worship on the real Sabbath anyway.
All right.
What do I care?
But here, and then we have to bring up, what is it, the that law that was passed under George H.W. Bush. What was that?
The new Noahide law?
The Noahide laws. Oh. That's vicious. Basically, they accuse all Christians of being idol worshipers because we supposedly worship three different gods, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Okay? That's what they say, you know. Well,
Yahweh is one. That's mm-hmm. what it says in the scripture.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That he chooses to manifest himself in different ways is his business. Does not make us idol worshippers. But besides, I've been to a lot of rabbinical homes, and they all have photographs of their favorite rabbis hung all over the place.
Yep.
Okay. So if
Menachem Schneerson.
Right. Right.
Yeah, I know all about that. The Lubavitchers and all
yeah.
that. They say he was a yeah. Messiah.
Yeah, I mean,
but he's dead.
Have... Yes, that's
he's
right.
Dead,
he's dead.
So the Messiah's dead. Okay. Yeah, now right. shut yeah. up.
They have photos down. Of rabbis like basketball worshipers have photos
they're,
of what's his face from Chicago, the Chicago Bulls, mm-hmm. Michael Jordan, right? And a pair of sneakers under. The rabbis need sneakers to sneak out of the house, right? And so they can worship at the how should I put it? The temple of prostitution, where they have white women prostitutes, right?
Right, and Pastor Dan says, let the battle begin. Time to take the gloves off, brothers.
Oh, yes.
What we have today is white frogs in the water in the pan, and they're slowly heating up
right.
the pan so the frogs don't notice
yes.
it. They
well
will be
said.
Boiled, cooked to death. Except for us frogs that have woken up and have jumped out of the pan,
mm-hmm.
A lot of the frogs are going to get boiled.
Oh, yeah.
Because
yeah.
they won't wake up. And that's
yes.
what we're trying to do here is wake them up, jump out of the pan, take up your AK, and kick butt.
Yeah, right.
Okay?
Yeah, Brother Hebert. Yeah, Brother Hebert posts here, Congressman Dana Meyer. Legal to kill Christians by guillotine, 1991. That's the essence of the Noahide laws.
Yep.
Dana Meyer made this public. And it turned out, I investigated this, and it turned out the Congressman Dana Meyer was married to, what's her name? Laura? No, not Laura. She has a Christian website of her own. She's also a universalist and dispensationalist, but she's Jew savvy. Can't think of her name right now. Anyway, and there's several really good Why Am I Thus posts, Truth Seeker Archive, Blogspot, Racial Origin of the Jews, Not Israelites. So we are informing the world that the Jews are not Israelites. Well, thanks for all these postings in the chat room, folks. This
well,
is great
we're,
stuff.
We're right on the front line. If people don't think we're in a battle right now,
mm-hmm.
and they don't think we're at risk.
Yes, right.
And
on Brother Abair's site.
I have to be bold in Yahweh. Look
Amen.
What Yahweh has done for me since a heart attack. He has preserved me for this battle and has healed me so fast.
Yes.
And brought me back so strong. There is no doubt in my mind.
Yes.
There's no doubt anymore, folks.
Dr. Lorraine Day, thank you. Why am I
Lorraine
so?
Day,
yeah,
and
we've got to
take up our battle action weapons of war, like Yahweh told us. We need to prepare because when it breaks loose, if you are not prepared, you're going to have your butt blowing in the breeze and might get it shot off.
Yes, yes.
So
and that's right.
You need to think.
And that hurts.
Plan,
it hurts when you get your butt shot off.
Plan ahead.
Right.
You know.
Yeah.
Air cooled because of the holes in it. Yeah.
Right. Right. So anyway, Representative Dana Meyer and. His wife, Dr. Lorraine Day, became Jew savvy because of the Noahide laws.
Yep.
And everybody, and so thanks for all the postings in the chat room. There's all kinds of good stuff
wow,
being
these,
posted.
This is the choir out
right.
there. But there are others that are just listening and not posting. And
yes,
these posts help them. So
yes, sure.
all of these guys in the chat are part of the team as far as I'm concerned.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
That
yeah.
they're warriors on the front line.
Yes, yes.
So,
it shows okay. They've been doing research.
Well, right? Yeah, they study each other themselves approved.
Amen,
okay?
Amen. Right. So
that's
Noah,
the deal.
Swamp Fox says, Noahides may not observe any religious holidays outside of the rabbinical traditions of Talmud. You know, they call it Torah, but it's Talmud. Most especially including such Christian holidays as Xmas, Easter, Halloween, All Saints Day, all the stuff that the Judeo-Christians do. Okay, so these Judeo-Christians need to be aware that the Jews want to chop their heads off. Hello?
Yeah, that's the punishment under the Noahide law, beheading.
Right, and that's part of U.S. law now. It was passed as law. The Noahide laws were passed into law under George Herbert Walker Bush in 1991.
Yeah.
All right? Judeo-Christians need to be aware that this is what the Jews want to do to them.
Yeah.
Okay? So
they
guillotines
cut off. Yeah. Right.
Well, I guess they're still left over from the French Revolution, and they want something to do with them, right?
Yeah, well.
Okay. All right, Pastor Steve. Where were we? I got lost here. Right? Oh, yeah.
Thesis number 40.
The rabbinate is the Antichrist. Do you want to take this one?
Sure. Proverbs 30, verse 4, tells us that Yahweh, the Father, has a son, and that the son has a name of his own.
Okay.
That name is Yahshua, which means Yah is salvation.
Mm-hmm.
Yahshua HaMashiach, the Messiah.
The Messiah, HaMashiach.
Jesus Christ to the
yeah,
ones
to
the
lay people. Right.
Okay.
First
John 2, verse 22 and 23 tells us that who is a liar but he that denies that Yahshua is the Messiah? He is Antichrist who denies both the Father and the Son. Whosoever denieth the Son has not the Father.
Okay. So we must be idol worshipers.
Well. I'm not so idle. I'm busy all the time.
Right.
Do these verses require explanation? Which ethnic group is it that denies that Yahshua is the Messiah? Which religion refuses to accept him as the Messiah?
He's not their Messiah anyway, but the Messiah.
I come not but for the lost sheep of the house of Israel,
Amen.
Not of Edom.
Amen.
1 John 4, 1 through 4. Dearly beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, for many false prophets are gone out into this
John
world.
John Hagee? Joel Osteen?
No, surely not. Hereby shall ye know the Spirit of God. Every spirit which confesses that Yahshua Messiah is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesses not that Yahshua Messiah is come in the flesh is of God. But this is the spirit of Antichrist.
Could that be the spirit of Judaism?
That sure is.
Mm-hmm.
Sure is.
Amen. Okay, 3.5 minutes.
Well,
yeah.
I want to let people know, because I'm back now from my little heart mishap, my website is https://// www.pastor, P-A-S-T-O-R, -steve.com. All of my word-for-word shows and my wake-up call shows are on that site, available
and,
for listening or download.
And please announce your two Torah versions. Yeah, the pastor's version.
The pastor's version and the straight English version for those who don't read the Hebrew. They're available through American National Publishing. So Harry Mack just got my pastor's version, and they're devouring that readily.
Mm-hmm.
And
the prices for those, I forgot. You can order by check.
$30 plus shipping for the standard, and I think it's $30-$35 for the pastor because the
shipping is included. So if you
is included. Okay,
$30 and $35, and the pastor's version has extensive notes.
That goes to help support EFR.
Right, and again, the address for ANP. Just specify which book you're ordering. So it's $35 for the pastor's version, $30 for the reader's version, I guess we could call it. And the address is ANP, Post Office Box 41-1373, Chicago, Illinois, 60641. You can make the checks out to ANP, okay? And we'll get that, and we'll send out whichever version you desire. The pastor's version is extensively notated. Okay. But it's for serious students of Scripture. But the reader's version is excellent as well. Okay. So the rabbinate is Antichrist. So let me just take a couple more quotes here. Yahshua told us, "The world cannot hate you, but it hateth me, because I testify," actually against it, "that the works thereof are evil." This world is evil, folks. John 7:7. "But I say unto you that in this place is one greater than the temple." He's talking about the physical temple. "But if ye had known what this meaneth," speaking to the Jews, "I will have mercy and not sacrifice, ye would not have condemned the guiltless." Matthew 12:6-7. Is it not true, Pastor Steve, that the Jews want to rebuild the temple so they can continue animal sacrifice?
That's true. It is time for the bumper music, brother.
Yes. All right, folks.
I'm watching the clock, and shalom aleichem to all my brothers and sisters out there. Peace be with you.
Amen. And Vokchi, or Voice of Christianism today, will be pre-recorded because I'll be on the road. Thanks for listening. Praise Yahweh. Pass the ammunition all. See you next time.